that old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
That will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more. When it does,
and when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
There'll be times hard to control, and you'll find,
and you'll find,
you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
that
will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. Cause that old wheel will roll around again. Roll around again.
And good morning and welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers. We are here live from the Radio Ranch this March 21st, 2020. We are into spring, even though there's snow on the ground, but praise God, he is in control. And so, good morning, men. Good morning, Brother John.
Good morning.
Good morning, Jason.
Good morning.
And Brother Tim, thanks for joining us. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. Glad to be here.
Amen. Amen. It is a beautiful morning as it is developing. And we welcome you, the remnant. We thank you for tuning in. Lots going on in the world. Boy, the birth pangs are coming quicker and quicker, closer and closer. They certainly are. And John, we'll look to you to open us up in prayer, sir.
Yeah, if there was ever a time to be praying Psalm 91 like we've been saying for about a month now, I guess. Seems like everyone else has caught on to it, but the thing we need to remember is you can say it and pray it all you want, but unless you abide in the Lord, unless you dwell in the Lord, unless you are washed in the blood, born again of the water and the Spirit, these promises aren't for you. So the window's closing quickly. We talked about this before, too. In Revelation, if you read, when John's warning the churches, it says, I'm coming. Then it says, I'm coming quickly. And then I believe it's the church of Laodicea that he says, I'm standing at the door. Well, that door is salvation. And if Jesus is standing up and no longer sitting on the throne, that means that that door to salvation is going to close at some point, and you only have a window of opportunity to come to the place where you confess your sins and cry out, ask God for forgiveness. And I recommend that you get baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. But only if you're going to take your walk seriously, because if you don't, then the covenant you enter into will be detrimental instead of salvational. Let's start with Psalm 91. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. For it is he who delivers you from the snare of the trapper and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his pinions, and under his wings you may seek refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and a bulwark. You will not be afraid of the terror by night, or the arrow that flies by day, or of the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, or of the destruction that lays waste at noon. 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not approach you. You will only look on with your eyes and see the recompense of the wicked, for you have made the Lord my refuge, even the Most High your dwelling place. No evil will befall you, nor will any plague come near your tent, for he will give his angels charge concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will bear you up in their hands, lest you strike your foot against a stone. You will tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion and the serpent you will trample down. Because he has loved me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him securely on high, because he has known my name. He will call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will rescue him and honor him, and with a long life I will satisfy him and let him behold my salvation. Well, Heavenly Father, we come before you humbly this morning, but also boldly, claiming the promises that you've given us as the sons of God. The promises in this psalm, Psalm 91, the warrior psalm. Father, we thank you that you are a merciful, gracious God, and that your desire is for none of your people to come to destruction, but for all to come to salvation. Father, we cry out, Abba, Father, save us, Lord. Save us, Lord Jesus. Father, guide and direct us as patriarchs. Give us wisdom, understanding, and discernment. Help us to hear you, the Lord. Father, hear our cry from our appeal to heaven to save America once again. Father, most people don't see it, but there are those that have eyes to see and ears to hear, and they know that there is nothing more merciful than you could do than what you're doing right now. The fact that you removed all the idols, you removed the sports, you removed all the entertainment, you shut down the bars and the restaurants, and you've all but legally confined us to our homes so that we would for once in our lives, slow down and look at the things that are really important and reprioritize the things that are important, family and God. And Lord, this is not of me, but Father, I know that this Passover that's coming up soon is probably one of the most important days of our life. We know that the things that you revealed to our pastor many years ago, and all the 91st days that we've kept, and all the Passovers that we've kept when most of the world laughs and scoffs and at the things of God, Father, we know that they were in preparation for this time, this very day. And you are even so merciful that you would mandate by law that we to be in our homes to observe the Passover. Father, we do. We plead that blood of Jesus, the precious, holy, cleansing, healing, protective blood, over our doorposts and lentils, as, Father, we retreat to our homes to fall upon our knees and our faces and to just cry out for grace and mercy in your wrath, just as your word says, and that you would find us worthy to escape the things that are coming. We continue to pray for those that are in positions of leadership, that you would send your ministering angels to them, and that they too would hear you, the Lord. And Father, I just pray that people wouldn't fear this virus, but they would fear you, and that they would know that nothing happens in this world without you knowing about it, without you letting it take place. What an opportunity we have, Lord, the greatest in my lifetime, to reach those people who may not yet know you, those that can come to repentance. Father, that's our desire, is that even in this 11th and three-quarter hour, that you would remove the scales from their eyes and unstop their ears, and that they would fall upon their face and cry out for forgiveness. Like I said in the beginning, hear us, Father, as we cry out, Abba, Father. We cry out the name above all other names, Jesus. And we say, Jesus, save us, your people, who are called by your name, who have humbled themselves and pray and seek your face and turn from our wicked ways, that you would hear from heaven, forgive our sin and heal our land. And Father, let this not be just a temporary situation, Lord. Let people understand that from this day forward, things will not be the same. That Babylon has fallen, and that bitch ain't coming back. So we need to plan accordingly. And the best thing that we can do is to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and to be able to be obedient, Lord. And we know that one of the greatest keys to this whole thing is obedience. Your word says you're ready to punish the disobedience of those that hate you and hate your people when our obedience is complete. We know we can't get there without the help of the Holy Spirit, but we know that with the help of the Holy Spirit, we can come to that place where we love you with all of our heart, our mind, our soul, and our strength.
Yes.
And it's in the name Jesus Christ, the name above all other names, we pray. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Well, the phone lines are ringing, so we'll just go right there this morning. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers. Hello, good morning. Thanks for holding. Well, you just have to call back. 307-745-5913 is the number, and the phone lines are open, and we do welcome you here this morning. Yeah, John, it you know, you can't make this stuff up. The way that these current events are flowing in, you read Isaiah 26 verse 20 and 21, and that's just what it says. Come, my people, enter into your rooms and close your doors behind you. Hide for a little while until indignation runs its course. For behold, the Lord is about to come out from his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity, and the earth will reveal her bloodshed and will no longer cover her slain. And certainly that should remind us of Passover, of the you know, the original Passover, but even later in you know, in Exodus, you know, in Exodus, when we read of it, and bring that to mind. And then, of course, in Numbers 9, when it speaks of the Passover as well. So we would encourage you, remnant, to go back and read those scriptures. Become familiar with them again, because we are seeing them again in our time.
Yeah, I was having conversations with people, and, you know, they're kind of freaking out. A lot of people are freaking out. If you're not grounded in the Word, then you are freaking out. But the bottom line is, they're like, well, how could a God of love do this kind of thing to his people? And I'm like, what are you talking about? This is about the most merciful thing that he could possibly do. You realize he could be raining down fire and brimstone right now, but because he loves us, he's done everything he can to remove the things that have been tempting us for our whole life, you know, sports and entertainment and going to the bars and not all, you know, not our people, but the majority of those who call themselves Christians, and restaurants, everything. He's removed everything, all the idols. He's tore down, and yet people are complaining. You know, it's almost, it reminds you of the Israelites in Egypt. God's raining down manna on them, and they're complaining. He splits the Red Sea. There's a wall of water on both sides, and they walk through it, and they still complain.
God doesn't love
murmur and complain. So you know, if we have to take another lap around Mount Sinai, then that's what we have to do. But I don't know how many more laps he's going to let us take. You know, either we're going to get it or we're not. I keep telling people, I said, you know what? Don't fear the virus. Fear God.
Amen.
It's a faith thing, you know. If you don't have the faith, then you're not going to make it.
Amen.
Amen.
Well, I think it's interesting. I think it's interesting how they talk about the fact that, well, how can a loving God, and I've heard that too from people here recently, John. So, you know, how can a loving God do that to his people? And it's like, maybe he's not doing it to his people. Maybe if those things are being done, you know, a lot of times we don't get the right answer because we don't ask the right question. You know, that's kind of the way that is. It's like, maybe they're not his people. Maybe those that are, you know, there's some things going on there that need to be taken care of. And I was thinking about the similarities of Malachi 4, chapter 4, as regards what's going on, because, you know, the day's coming, burning like a furnace. Those are some of the things. And all the arrogant and every evildoer will be chaff in that day. And the day that is coming will set them ablaze and leave them neither root nor branch. But you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness, will rise with healing in its wings. And we talked about vitamin D3 and the sun's effects on these types of viruses. And, you know, how that God's people will tread down the wicked. And there'll be ashes under the city of the feet of God's people. And, you know, when you, there's a lot of similarities in there and a lot of things going on. And it's like, at some point, their repentance window is going to close. We don't know we don't know how patient God is. I mean, he's obviously more patient than we are. But, there's a lot of those things going on. I was talking to, a neighbor just yesterday, and I said, well, the deal is with all this stuff going on with people's outlets being confined and they're no longer allowed to do these things, they're going to wake up and find out that they have a family. Find out that maybe they'll reconnect with their children, you know. They're at home, they're not in school, they don't have any activities, they don't have, you know, wow. I mean, I have three children or two children or whatever the average number is in the United States. And the guy I was talking to said his daughter was home from college. And the colleges are closed. And he said, she's like, gee, Dad, I'm bored. Maybe I'll come out and help you. And he said, that'd be awesome. That's never happened before. You know, I thought that was
interesting. You think about, too, God's grace and mercy and compassion, that this thing, the heat of this thing is hitting right about the time of spring break. And there are lots of children that are home, you know, I guess they're not children, young adults that are home from college and home from school. And what a blessing that, you know, another grace and mercy, compassion thing from God to have the brunt of this thing hitting pretty much over spring break when families are together already. And you know, when you mention that, when you tell people that, they can see it, you know, they start to see it. But I've had people say, no, this is of Satan, you know, and that the ones that are saying this is of Satan are the ones that are worried about losing their wealth. That's what they're worried about. They're worried about losing their lifestyle. They're worried about losing the things that they've worked so hard for. And you know, it's difficult to get a person like that who's addicted to things to see the truth. But and then they get mad at you, and that's fine. You know, I said, well, you know what, that's fine if you get mad at me for telling you the truth, but I'm going to tell you the truth anyways, and if we part ways, then so be it.
Amen. Yeah. Amen. And yeah, these things that are happening, even a quarantine, you know, to go, and as I read in, you know, from the scriptures there, to go in and close your door, go be by yourself. That's a biblical principle, a biblical health principle that God gave. And our people are so far removed from the Word, especially the Old Testament, that it does seem so very foreign to them, and they're against it. But yeah, you're right, John. Our Lord sees the end from the beginning. He knows what He's doing. He is directing the hearts of our leaders like He directs the streams of waters, the Bible says. And He's done it in the past. His Word says it. And that's what He's doing now. And what a gracious God to do that, to give us that opportunity. You know, even back in Joshua 24, verse 14, it says, "Now therefore, fear the Lord and serve Him in sincerity and truth, and put away the gods which your father served beyond the river and in Egypt." And we have that opportunity again. We have that opportunity again, as you pointed out.
What do you see going on, Jace?
No, I see a basic economic reset, and I see that they're manipulating the markets. I mean, it's one of the things that I've noticed in the silver market is, you know, silver is down to $12.54 an ounce, but can you buy it for $12.54? Can you buy it for slightly over spot? No, you can't. You know, you've got $10 premiums on just about anything that's on the mark, which really takes the price where the price should be, instead of $12, it should be $22 is what you're going to pay if you're buying it. So it's, you know, it's one of those things that, you know, the deception is there, and I don't understand exactly what it is, but if they're doing it on the silver market, I'm sure they're doing it on the rest of the stock markets and everything as well. So, you know, you just, you know, I see them trying to take it over, and I see that, you know, that are looking to the future. And that's what, you know, I mean, that's trying to play the futures market is what they're trying to do. And that, there's a big push on that right now because things have dropped so much. And, you know, it's just interesting because there's a chance right now to have some of the biggest transfers of wealth in our history. And, you know, the most amount of bankruptcies, a lot of these businesses that you see that are shut down, that, I mean, they're striving to set up to do curbside delivery because they're already being told that they could be shut down for up to 8 weeks. So, you know, some of these restaurants, like we got a local restaurant in Vern's here just down the road from me, and this place, you know, they don't do, they've never done curbside delivery or anything like that. Well, it took them a couple of days to get ramped up to do it, and now that's what they're doing, and they're trying to, they're basically trying to survive, and trying to make their payments. You know, there's so many businesses that if their doors are not open for 2 days, that they're GOB, they're gone, and they are not coming back. You know, there's talk about a stimulus package, talking about a bailout, and talking about this and talking about that, and there's all these people that are out there that are excited because, oh, they're going to get a $1,000 check, you know. In a crisis like this, $1,000 isn't a whole lot of money.
No. That's okay.
And, you know, that's what, there's people right now that are, have, there's also people out there that have jobs that they could be thriving at, and they just want to go home and sit at home and not do anything. I know in the food delivery business and delivering groceries that they're screaming for help, and then they want help, and they're paying them well, and everybody's quitting on them just because everything else is shut down. Well, there's no restaurants open, there's no this open, there's no that open, and I just think I need to be sitting at home. And they've already had just that defeated attitude. So it's very interesting and trying times, but, you know, I mean, we'll see. We've got to just continue to press on.
A lot of the mentality, too, in the Judeo-Christian world is the rapture, you know, the same stupid thing that they're just going to wait for Jesus to come back and save them and not do anything to help other people or to prepare themselves. And unfortunately, I'm pretty sure that's not how it works.
Not the verb occupy.
Yeah, but you know, the Fed, what people don't realize is the Federal Reserve threw $1 trillion at this thing right off the bat, and they've dropped the interest rates right about 2.5 points down to, I think it's at a quarter point or something, and it did nothing. It didn't even hiccup. It didn't change anything. And even there, they, you know, they're scratching their heads. They can't figure out what to do. And so that just tells you that, you know, Revelation talks about how Babylon falls in a day. Well, it took about a week, I guess, but Babylon's fallen, and from what you read, even the hedge funds and all of that stuff, that you know, they're in deep trouble too. And part of the biggest problem is that there's so many people that were buying on margin. You know, they might have half of what they want to buy, and then they bought all this extra in margin, and for a while they're making bank. You know, they're doing really well, but when those calls come due, that's probably the majority of the reason why the precious metals markets are down as well, because everybody's selling everything they have in the precious metals to cover their losses in the stock market. But regardless, it's a Babylonian system. You know, they're talking about a $4 trillion bailout, and what does that put us at, $28, $29 trillion deficit? And that's just the immediate one. If you add up all of the obligations, it's, you know, I think it's in the hundreds of trillions of dollars. So it's all fake money anymore. You know, they had some of the largest industries come to the government and ask for bailouts. And, you know, this is in the first week, right? So you got the auto industry, the auto manufacturing industry. Oh, we need $500 billion. And then you got the hospitality industry, hotels. Oh, we need $250 billion. And then you got the, I think it was the restaurant industry. We need $250 billion. And that's just for the first 3 months, you know. So that's $1 trillion right there with three industries. So we need to face the fact that life is going to be different from this day forward. Pastor Peter said it, I believe, a month or so before 9/11. And you know, life has not been the same, and I don't think it's going to be the same again after what we're going through now. So now's the time to look at the long-term plans of how we're going to go forward. But the most important thing is to abide in the Lord Jesus Christ and to trust in His promises.
Amen to that. Yeah. Amen to that. You know, Romans 8:31-32 says, "What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who is against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him over for us all, how will he not also with him freely give us all things?" And that's, you know, like you said, John, and it's been mentioned, that people are freaking out. They are. They don't know. I've talked with several members of our extended congregation in different parts of the country that have had, you know, acquaintances and family members that have come up to them and asked, "Hey, what you know, you're a Christian, what do you see here?" Or have come up and asked specifically, never before, but they've come up in the last week or so asking for prayer, asking for, you know, not physical help, but spiritual help, for comfort. And, you know, our pastor talked on this, and that this day would come, and I think we're there. You know, we're there to not only to continue to pray for and protect our families, but you know, for those that might be awakening, that might be waking up to this. It's not going to be all of them. It's not going to be all, but for those that are, it's happening. It is happening.
Well, the thing is, originally, you know, I kind of thought this thing was getting overblown and all that. But you start to watch what's going on in Italy, and Italy is warning other countries not to take this too lightly. And the reality is that the cities are the ones that are in trouble right now. But we have our people in those cities, and we need to not only think about others with regards to the provisions that we made, but we need to think about all these other people with regards to our prayers, too. They're saying now that I think two people an hour are dying in New York City, and that just keeps growing. I think yesterday it was one person an hour, and then the update today was two people an hour. And you got to think about how they got these people packed in these small areas. You know, we're learning new words too, social distancing and shelter in place. And I don't know, there was I had a list of them the other day, but it's just, these are interesting times, you know. There's uncharted waters, and without the leading of the Holy Spirit, if you're the patriarch, then it's going to be difficult to make the right decisions. And if you make a wrong decision, there's consequences, especially in today's day and age.
Amen.
Well, in our book of definitions, you know, is definitely dependent upon your position in God's kingdom. I mean, you know, God has the authority and the power to overcome that. I mean, I look at, I was thinking about the Babylonian, you know, horror that Revelation talks about, wringing their hands and nothing that could be done could affect the trade and could save their sacred cows. And that's what we were talking about earlier. They dumped money, they dumped interest rates there. And the truth of the matter is they're not trying to save the businesses out there. They're trying to save the money lenders and those kinds of wealth situations. That's what they're really worried about. If you boil it all down, is you know, at the end of the day, if those places go broke, the people basically, it's kind of like a Jubilee scenario. They have what they have. I mean, if there's no one to take those things, and God does Jubilee that, the wealth really, you know, you talk to people from the Depression era, and they said, well, we had everything but money. I mean, you know, all the stuff that we had, we just didn't have any money. There wasn't any around. And we're kind of in that situation right now. I mean, there's these things, but yeah, people are trying to figure out, you know, how to, there's a new paradigm out there, and trying to figure out how to make it all work without this, or without that system over the top of it. So
the difference is, like we said, you know, before, and Pastor Peter said too, was there was at least one member in a family, you know, an extended family or something, that had a farm or had a ranch or had something that typically was paid for and could produce, whether that was producing food from a garden or cattle or whatever it was. But you think about it, what is there? I bet you 80% of these people don't have anybody in their family bloodlines that have something like that. And that's the difference. I mean, they haven't admitted it yet, but the reality is the numbers that have come out and the projections, they don't show a recession. They show a depression. And what the other thing people don't realize is that the Federal Reserve has pumped this economy up behind the scenes for years, dumping in billions of dollars and buying junk bonds and just trying to keep everything afloat. And it's just so obvious that, you know, this is the Babylonian system. And the fact that we lost over 10,000 points in the stock market in a week just tells you that Babylon's fallen. And I just don't think that God's going to allow it to come back.
Amen. Amen. You know, right along those lines.
Number out too.
Yep, right along those lines, John. My brother Patrick just sent in Isaiah 5:8. Woe to those who add house to house and join field to field until there is no more room, so that you have to live alone in the midst of the land. And that's how it terms alone. It's not because you're in the middle of a city, but it's alone because you're, I think, apart from God and apart from the land. And Remnant, the phone lines are open this morning, 307-745-5913. If you want to give a call, we are live this March 21st, Saturday morning. And got another scripture for you, Philippians 4. Be anxious for nothing, it says in verse 6, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And, you know, all of these letters here, they were written to encourage a people. They were written, and they are there to encourage us today. You know, you read a little bit further on, verse 11, "Not that I speak from want, for I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am." That may be something that this country has to learn, to be content. Because, as you said, John, the circumstances are certainly changing. They are.
Yeah, I think as a people, we need to be prepared for what's coming. We tried to, I think a month ago, I brought the medical martial law stuff out, and a lot of people were, you know, not believing that. And you hear people say, well, how can a governor, order a shelter in place and all that? Well, if you read the medical martial law, you see that it basically suspends the Constitution, and those are executive orders that have been in place since the Obamanation administration. But I saw this headline this morning, and I think it's important for our people to understand this too. It says it's official. U.S. military activated within CONUS. The U.S. military has begun operations inside the United States, and for the first time in modern history, the Department of Defense has been given standby orders to ensure the continuity of government in a response to the COVID-19 pandemic. These extraordinary measures, which include evacuating the White House officials to remote quarantine locations and devolving the nation's leadership to a second tier officials, were originally meant for the aftermath of a nuclear war. Above, top secret contingency plans are now in place in case the nation's constitutional power successors are incapacitated by the pandemic. Standby orders have been issued for a series of plans under the U.S. Northern Command, NORTHCOM, which was created in response to the 9/11 attacks as Homeland Defense Military Authority. Excuse me. These operations are codenamed Octagon, Freejack, and Zodiac, and include CONPLAN 3400, Homeland Defense if the U.S. itself is the battlefield, CONPLAN 3500, defending civil authorities in an emergency, CONPLAN 3600, defending the national capital region from attack. The Defense Secretary, Mark T. Esper, has authorized NORTHCOM to prepare to deploy in support of these potential extraordinary missions. These include the possibility of some form of martial law where military commanders will be given executive powers across the U.S. until new civilian leadership would emerge. Anyways, it goes on, but this is reality of what's likely going to take place here in the very near future, so prepare accordingly.
Amen. Amen. We're in it again. Got a few minutes left here this morning. 307-745-5913. If you'd like to give a call.
I did see the FBI says that gun buys are up 300% on their checks, and they got huge backlogs, and now they're worried they may have to shut it down so that people can't buy stuff. And I thought it's amazing to me that this is one of those things that there's been quite a bit of talk about that, but God has changed the minds of a lot of people who are anti-gun and don't need guns. I'm seeing some pictures out of California. There are people lined up, you know, clear around the block, waiting in line to get background checked and buy something. And there's been a lot of scuttlebutt about the fact that they've converted a lot of people into defensive survivalists through this whole deal. And I just thought that was kind of an interesting thing, how convenience and politics have nothing to do with reality and survival, you know. So it's kind of like...
the gun sales were worse or more than when Obama was, when they thought Obama was going to get elected the first time. And within the last couple of days, I know they went to it. They went from being able to do a background check in about less than 10 minutes. And then it was one day, then it was 2 days, then it was 3 days. I know people that have been waiting for 7 days now to get a background check. And haven't been able to get it. And like you said, they don't know if they will get it, you know. And, you know, talking with some guys last night, they said that, you know, they said they'd heard of a lot of people that it's like, you know, with all this stuff going on, I think I'm going to go buy a gun. And it's like, geez, you know, what are you waiting for?
Yeah, yeah.
The other thing I thought was interesting is you look at the, there was an article that came out that said advanced knowledge of CDC starting to hire quarantine program managers last November to cover quarantine centers in Texas, California, New York, Washington, Illinois, Massachusetts, and more. And it basically, in that last November, they put up and they started working on and basically had job descriptions, what your job was going to be to manage a quarantine center, you know, and that started.
Yeah, we talked
November.
About that.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. Well, I think we got to understand that the demon rep mentality is never let a good crisis go to waste, right? So if you look at it, I mean, I talked to some people in Arizona the other day, and nothing's changed in Arizona, so there's no doubt that the demon rep governors and those in positions of authority are going to do everything they can to advance their agendas. In fact, if you saw the first stimulus package that President Trump and the Republicans put forward, the Democrats made sure that they wanted to put abortion on demand in there for the coronavirus relief effort, you know, and they wanted to put more food stamps and more this and more that, just their social communist agenda. They had to plug all that into it to before they would sign it and pass it, you know. And it's just you can't change them. It's just the way they are. They come only to steal, kill, and destroy.
That's what they do. Yep. Guys, let's go back to the phone lines. Good evening or good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Hello, this is Tom from New Jersey.
Hey, Tom.
You hear me?
Yes.
I noticed you guys never ask for money. A lot of people hunkered down now. A lot of extra money maybe floating around because we can't spend them on anything. I think that it's time to step up and make sure that we do our tithing and gift giving to the ministry here. Hello?
Sure, Tom.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, Tom, thanks.
I want to get an amen on that one because
yeah.
I think that this is very important. I would hate to wake up some morning and not have SFA to listen to and to have part of my world. And I don't know what's going to happen with Branson this year. Maybe that's not going to happen because of the situation that we're in. But the money that we would spend on Branson, I hope that people are smart enough to say, let's make sure we support Scriptures for America. And John made a strong point last week about putting your money where your heart is. And he says if you like to read and learn, or you have books, you know, you put your money into books. And SFA sells plenty of books, so if we're going to be hunkered down with nothing to do, I think we should buy some books and tapes instead of from SFA and make sure that we support the ministry. And also Artists and Publishers has a lot of great books and audio cassettes from CAP, etc. Mm-hmm. And I think that maybe people should be looking to, you know, study their faith more and study about St. Paul and you know, things of that nature. And this one great book I wanted to always mention was Far Above Rubies by Isabel Hill Elder. I think that's a book that people should be having in their frame of reference. A lot of great information there. But my major point is that we have to not forget to support the ministry.
Thank
Hello?
You, Tom. We've always
just
relied on the Lord Jesus Christ providing. As long as we continue to do our job, He always provides enough to pay the bills, and we greatly appreciate that. I did say in the last message that how grateful we are for the faithful remnant, the ones that have supported the ministry for many years. And every time I sign the thank you letters and anoint them and pray over them, I'm humbled by those people who continually support the ministry. You know, there's probably maybe less than 400 people probably who faithfully support the ministry, and
we probably send out 6,000 newsletters. So that just shows you that there's 400 people that put their money where their mouth is and support this ministry.
Yes.
And we can't thank those enough.
No.
And those that just take and take and receive and never do anything, well, that's between them and God. But thank you, brother. I really appreciate that.
Okay, you're more than welcome. And thank you for all you guys do. You're great. I love you so much. You wouldn't believe it. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Tom. God bless. Guys, the phone lines are ringing. We'll stay with them. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Morning, brothers. It's
good
Patrick.
Morning. Good morning, Patrick.
Yeah. I give an amen to that last caller. And you guys are talking about guns and the FBI and one of the background checks. You know, our brother Gary, who's passed away a few years back, and I don't know how many, some of you guys remember him, but he told me one time, he said, you don't want to be a member of the Butter Knife Brigade. And I asked him, well, what's that? He says, well, that's when your neighbor, your non-gun-owning neighbor comes to you and the stuff hits the fan and asks you for a gun. He says, well, you know, you give him a butter knife instead, because if you don't see him again, well, you're only out one butter knife. So,
amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
So, you know, just we just got to pray, you know, keep calm. You know, and Johnny made a good point there this morning that about, you know, casting down the idols, and with all the sports teams, you know, not playing in the bars and being closed. You know, I guess I have to admit that, you know, I never thought of that, thought of it that way before, and well, that's a good thing. You know, you got the neighbor kids are outside and they're playing and running around and this stuff, and it's good that, you know, that our families, you know, are together, and it just so happens that Passover is coming up here in a few days too. So yeah, it all coincides.
Amen. Patrick,
yeah, it was Brother Paul in Michigan that brought that up to me regarding the idols, and it was Pastor Ron Poach that reflected on the significance of the Passover. So these aren't things that I came up with. These are things that members of the body, the getting elite, came up with.
Amen. Patrick, God bless, brother. Thanks for the call. And we've got a couple more phone lines ringing. And one more. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Good morning.
Good morning, Josh. How are you?
Just wanted to make a comment. Thing I've noticed a lot around me recently is people are either at one extreme or the other. They're laughing at the situation and still living their lives a lot like normal, or else they're scared and, you know, I guess the parallel of being held up in a cage, you know, thinking it's just the sky is falling. I understand that, because at times I think we all have those emotions, but it's important that we look to God and, you know, for our strength and our foundation to make those decisions and do the things that we can do, you know, both. I think we need to keep ourselves in the middle there, where we're doing what we're supposed to be doing, but we're looking to God and we're not fearing. And also, to realize this is y'all touched on earlier, this is one of the biggest opportunities that we'll probably have in our lifetimes to reach out to people that are searching for answers and that are, you know, looking to try to find the truth. And so whenever that door is open, we need to jump through it, pray for God to lead us every step of the way.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. You know, we all got things that we can do to help others. I, for one, being blessed to have a few rentals, have decided that I'm lowering the rent on those rentals just enough to cover my expenses to try to help these young people that are living there, you know, and they're struggling too right now. Their hours have been cut, and it's just a matter of time before they lose their job. In the event that they do suspend. They won't. They'll just postpone them. They won't. They won't do away with them. But God might do away with them. But mortgages and things like that. If your expenses are being cut, then you need to cut your the expenses of those that are relying on you. I looked into doing Meals on Wheels, which is basically delivering meals to the elderly who are told not to come out of their homes, who can't go to the grocery store. And it's kind of a funny story. I have a friend that has a granite business, and close to him down in the same strip mall area is this hospitality supply company. And I went in there the other day, and I was just like whispering to the guy. I go, hey, buddy, you know, I go, my buddy said that you could set me up with some contraband, and he looks at me weird, and I said, toilet paper. And anyways, these restaurant supply companies have these cases with 80 rolls of toilet paper, so I was fortunate and got a couple cases of that, and my plan is to hopefully, you know, give a couple rolls of toilet paper to these elderly people and while I'm delivering meals to them. But the point is, there's things that we can do to help one another, and we can't just hunker down in our houses and try to just take care of our own. There are so many people out there, especially the older generation. Think about being quarantined at home and it's just you. You know, talk about trying to go crazy. And, you know, the depression that's setting in right now, and those drugs aren't available. And you talk about a zombie class. We get all of these people that are hooked on prescription drugs. It'll be interesting to see who goes in withdrawal first, the ones from sports or the ones from drugs. And it's just interesting times. And like Josh said, there's no greater opportunity in our lifetime to reach people with the truth of the gospel and Jesus Christ. And I tell you what, any one of you that calls yourself a follower of Jesus Christ, you better look into the teachings that Pastor Peters gave us regarding Passover. And we have an obligation to teach as many people as we can before that day comes, because the death angel's coming. And unless you're in dwelling in the Lord Jesus Christ, you're not going to be protected.
Amen. Amen. Josh, thanks so much for the call, brother. God bless.
Yes, sir.
All right. Amen.
Thanks, Josh.
Amen. Remnant, I encourage you, read the parable of the 10 virgins in Matthew 25. Because that parable, it's always understood that those are 10 Christians. Those are all Christians. They all called themselves Christians. Some had bought the oil of understanding, some had not. And today you can still buy it. You can still get it. But you have to get it so that the Lord will not answer and say, truly, truly, I do not know you. Because that's the signs of the times. Well, men, we are all but out of time. I want to thank you guys for joining us. We thank you, Remnant, for tuning in. And, you know that we pray for you here. We appreciate your prayers. And I sent a prayer chain out this morning. Got, for my grandson, got an update. Things are looking, better. So I sure appreciate the prayers for that. Thankful to our God who is faithful and hears and answers our prayers. And we do want to invite you to church tomorrow. We'll start church 8:30 a.m. Mountain Time. That's 9:30 Central, 10:30 Eastern. And you can join us right at your home computer, if that's what you have, at scripturesforamerica.org, right at the website. And click on the live video stream, and we'll have a little bit of everything for you. You can come and join us in worship to the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. And John will have a live message. Looking forward to that, John. And we'll have communion. And so we invite you
just
to do that.
Let the people know, too, that we will be calling for days of fasting and prayer coming up here shortly. So watch the front page of the website. That's going to be the latest information. We still do have shortwave going out in the event that communications go down, which is very likely.
Yes.
You should still, if you don't have a shortwave radio, you might consider purchasing one. They're pretty reasonable these days. And that may be our only way to disseminate the gospel and to disseminate the truth in the upcoming days. So I just want to try to get our people to prepare with that. I was thinking the other day, too, if our cell phones go down and stuff, blow the dust off your CB radios and put them back in your trucks and, you know, set one up at home. And that may be our only means of communication, too, with the people that we know and love and that are around us that will support each other to make it through these difficult times.
Amen. Amen. Well, men, thanks for joining us. Remnant, thanks for joining us. And going to go out with a prayer, a song that used to be quite popular in this country, but it is a prayer. It truly is. And I think God heard this when it was prayed. And He will hear it again. See you tomorrow, church. From the mountain to the prairie.